Enjoy that.
Amen.
I tell you what, I'm glad one day he went to an old rugged cross. I'm glad one day they laid him in an old borrowed tomb. You know, that just proved that he died. Amen. The Bible said he died for our sins. But praise God, that old tomb couldn't hold him. The Bible said that on that third and glorious day, he arose victorious. Amen. Over in Romans, it said he rose for our justification. We can know that God accepted his sacrifice. Amen. And praise God, he said he's coming back. Amen. He's coming back. And I'm glad that one day he's coming back for a church without spot and blemish. He's coming back for me. Amen. And I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. Turn in your Bibles this morning with us into Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel 37. As you're turning, we would like to welcome all the visitors that are with us this morning. Brother Ernie's got some friends, family here. And then Brother Jim's got Mama back. Amen. I don't know if she'll be able to straighten him out or keep him straight, but she's been trying all these years and hasn't been successful yet. So pray for her. She's got a heavy burden. We love her and appreciate her. It's good to be here. And then after service this morning, immediately after service this morning, we have the privilege of being able to baptize Mrs. Poor. She got saved a while back and been asking me to baptize her, and I've been kind of holding off to see if we had any others. But, you know, she wants to be baptized. We're not going to wait. Amen. So she's asked me a few times, so we're just going to make sure that it happens. And I'm glad for those that trust in Christ as their Savior. But those that have the burden to go through the waters of baptism, not that it does anything for you, but it shows the world. Amen. What Christ has done in your life. It's a testimony. It's a witness that you have been born again by the blood of Jesus. The old man's buried and dead, and he is beneath the water in the watery grave, but he comes back up victorious, risen to walk with Christ in the newness of life. Amen. We're thankful for that this morning, and we're thankful that he can still revive those who are dead in sin and trespasses. Amen. We're thankful this morning that he still gives hope to a world that has no hope. If you're familiar with Ezekiel 37, you'll understand that it's probably the greatest revival that ever took place in the Bible. Amen. And it's about the valley of the dry bones. And if you found Ezekiel 37, stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. The Bible says in Ezekiel 37, in verse number 1, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which is full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring a flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And a breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and will cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Father God, we thank you for your word. We just thank you, Father, for the hope that you give us and the strength that you instill within us. We thank you, Lord, for the little ones as they've sung this morning. And Lord, as they have chose in the song to follow you and to honor you, we thank you for allowing us, Father, just to see the importance of following you. Lord, we thank you this morning for the songs that were sung that stirred our heart. And knowing, Lord, that you loved us enough to die for us. And Father, that you're coming back to take us with you, to be with you someday. Stir our hearts now that we might be an encouragement and a help to these that hear your word. Stir our hearts, Lord, and help us, God, to go from this place today to be an encouragement to a lost and a dying world. Stir our hearts today, Father, and help us, God, to stir our nation to realize the need, Father, of turning back to the living God. And we'll praise you, Father, for what you've done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we say amen. You may be seated. If you're unfamiliar with what's going on and what's happening here in the book of Ezekiel, we can find that God has brought judgment upon Israel and upon Judah. The nations have split. There's two separate nations, the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. And because of their sin and because of the rejection of God, he has brought judgment upon them. About 700 AD, the nation or the kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel, was carried captivity and dispersed and disappeared and ceased to be a recognizable entity. They call them the 10 lost tribes of Israel because they were dispersed and they found themselves cemented and ingrained and moved into places where they became a part of the other cultures, and they lost their national identity. And Judah, the southern kingdom, which for the most part had walked close to God, and began to stray further and further away. They hadn't looked at what had happened to their sister, the northern kingdom of Israel. And some 135 years after the time that Israel, the northern kingdom, was dispersed and carried away into captivity, Nebuchadnezzar came and carried the southern kingdom of Judah into captivity as well. Israel fell. Ezekiel was about 20 to 25 years old when he was carried into captivity. And while he was in captivity, God gave him these visions, and God gave him these prophecies to share with his people, that he might encourage them and that he might bring hope to them. He wanted them to realize that even though sometimes he brings us love, and sometimes he brings us to the place of chastisement, to the place of correction, to the place of realizing that we have stepped outside of his will and outside of the long suffering of God, and he has brought punishment upon us. He hasn't forgot about us. His heart hasn't forsaken his people. He promised Abraham in Genesis that his people would multiply multiply as the sands of the sea, and that the land that he inherited would be theirs forever. I'm glad today that I can look across the sea, and I can still see that the seed of Abraham is still occupying the promise that God had made. Amen. And God is true to his word. And though he has brought them through some times of punishment, though he has brought them through some times of discouragement, though he has brought them through some situations where they had no hope, he wanted them to know that there was still hope. As I look upon America, and I see America getting further and further and further away from God, it seems as if there's no hope, but praise God, there's always hope for revival. Amen. There's always hope for our nation. But we need to look and see what God wants us to know. We was teaching in Sunday school this morning about learning to follow Christ and learning to follow his example. If we would heed God's word, we could see God turn things around in America today. I want to preach to you this morning. And I don't know where you're at in your life spiritually. I don't know where you're at in your life as far as the situations that you're dealing with and the things that you're going through. But I want you to know that as long as God is on the throne, as long as my God is alive, there's always hope. And let me just say this. The Bible tells me that my God is from everlasting to everlasting. That my God is from eternity past and will always be present in eternity future. My Bible tells me that he always was, always is, and always will be. And as long as he's God, there's hope. Ezekiel said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and it carried him out into the valley of the dry bones. And when he got to the valley of the dry bones and he began to survey the situation and to look around him at what was going on, he began to see what God wanted him to see. And let me tell you this morning, folks, you'll never get anywhere with God. You'll never succeed with him until you see the things that he wants you to see the way that he wants you to see them. Excuse me. You'll never grow in your life spiritually until you see yourself as God sees you and how he wants you to see yourself. If you're outside of God, if you don't know him as your personal Savior, if you've never asked him into your heart and into your life, until you see yourself as lost and without hope, lost and undone, the Bible tells us, until you see yourself in need of a Savior, you'll never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. For you got to be lost. You got to get lost. You got to realize you're lost before you can get saved. Mrs. Poor been coming to church here for a couple of years now. I get to baptize her this afternoon because one day she realized she was lost. She realized that she was on her way to a devil's hell, but there was hope in Christ Jesus. She's seen herself and she's seen her situation the way that God wanted her and needed for her to see it. And until we see ourselves that way, we're never going to see that there is a need in our lives. Until we look around our church and see ourselves as individuals the way that God wants us to see ourselves, we might be saved and walking where he wants us to walk and trying to do what's right. But are you seeing yourself the way that God sees you this morning? Sometimes we get comfortable in our own religion. Sometimes we get comfortable in our own theology. Sometimes we get comfortable in the way that we want to see things. But are we seeing our lives the way that God wants us to see them? It's a challenging question. But we have to see things the way that God wants us to see them. Amen. We have to see our church the way that God wants us to see it. Not the way that we perceive it, but how does God see our church? Who is our church? It's the born-again believers. Who is the church? It's the individual that makes up the body of the bride of Christ. But we need to see the church. We need to see ourselves the way that God wants us to see us. He said he put him in the valley of the dry bones, and he said he looked around, and he seen that there were many, and they were very dry. Amen. Man, I'm just getting started. It's already tightened up in here this morning. Amen. That's part of the problem. We tighten up instead of letting go. Amen. We tighten up and started instead of letting God have his way. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. And I want to tell you something. You'll never know the truth about your life. You'll never know the truth about your church. You'll never know the truth about your nation until you see it the way that God wants you to see it. And until we see it the way that he wants us to see it, everything that we do is in vain. Amen. I tell you, we need to get a grasp of this thing. We need to look around us, and we need to see our church the way that it really is. We need to see our lives the way that they really are. Am I doing everything that God would have me to? Am I one of these old, dead, and dried up Christians? The Bible said there were very many. Praise God. There are churches throughout America today that are as dead can be, and they're so dried up because there's no life in them. And life comes through the Spirit of God. Amen. They got a form of godliness. They got a fashion of godliness. But they're dead. Are you dead today? Is this church alive? Sometimes we wonder. Amen. Sometimes we question, is there life here, or is it dead, and has it dried up? You tell me, what's it going to be this morning? Do you see yourself the way that God sees you? Are you where God wants you to be? We need to look around us and see the world through God's eyes, see the way God that wants us to see it. He'll bring us to the place to where we can see it. Amen. He brought him out so that he could purposely see it. I want to see me the way that God sees me. And I know who I am. And I know what I am. And I don't ever want to lose sight of that. I don't want to talk down to people and look down to people because of their particular situations. You know who I am? For those that have never met me, let me tell you about me. I'm a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low down scum of the earth sinner that's been saved by grace. And I can't brag in anything, and I can't brag on anything save the blood of Jesus. Amen. And if I'm going to glory in anything, if I'm going to praise anything, I want it to be Jesus. Amen. I don't want to be some old dead, dried up preacher that preaches a little sermonette. I want to preach something to you that challenges you, that stirs your heart, that moves you to grow closer to God. And I want you to see you this morning the way that God sees you. And praise God, I'm glad this morning when he looks at me, he don't see all that stuff, but he sees the blood. And I'm thankful this morning that my sin is under the blood. Praise his name. How about you this morning? How about you this morning? Are your sins under the blood? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? Have you made him your Savior? Do you realize what your need is this morning? A Christian, what's he want to do with your life? What's he want to do? Where does he want to take you? See yourself the way that he sees you. Allow yourself to get it. Man, I tell you what, can you imagine a valley full of dried bones? There were very many. It's not a comfortable place to be when you face death in that magnitude. It says later on it was an exceeding great army. I'm thinking maybe a great battle had taken place. Maybe 50, 60, 70, 80,000, 100,000 men may have died in this battle. An exceeding great army. It wasn't a comfortable place to be, but you know, we got to get to an uncomfortable place sometime to see ourselves. And I trust this morning the Word of God will get you to an uncomfortable place. Amen. That you can see yourself and you can look around you and you can survey where you're at with God and see what He wants to do in your life. He said that there were very many. Seeing what God wants you to see is important. Because you can't do what God wants you to do. You can't go where God wants you to go. Amen. You can't travel how God wants you to travel until you can see what God wants you to see. But listen to what he said in verse number 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. We got to get to the place to where we realize and we understand that God and God alone knows what is going to transpire in our lives. We got to get to the place where God and God alone is in control. A son of man, can these bones live? We give up on witnessing to people because we feel there's no need. It doesn't do any good. We got churches that are shutting down the Sunday night service because nobody wants to come out. Well, hoo-ha, let's praise the ones that do. Let's get encouraging the ones that do and maybe they'll get on fire and go and do what God wants them to do. We don't tell anybody about Jesus at the grocery store. We're afraid to hand out if we give you tracts. How many of you hand your tract out on this week? How many of you get your tracts out? You know why we give you a tract? One tract. One tract. You know how many hands I've seen? About 4 or 5 hands. One tract. Can you give away one tract in a week? In 7 days, can you give away one tract and tell somebody about Jesus? You ain't even got to say nothing. All you just say, here, would you take and read that for me? I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Amen. Amen. Can these bones, well, what's the use? They're just going to throw it away. I've heard missionary after missionary talk about giving away thousands of tracts and seen people throw them down and I've heard more than one time somebody come along and picked up a discarded tract, opened it up and read it and give the heart and life to Jesus. Amen. Son of man, can these bones live? Church, can we set this world on fire? Church, can we turn the world upside down? Church, can we get our hearts and lives on fire for God like we've never been on fire? Let me tell you, who knows? God knows. Amen. And when we turn ourselves over to God, when we surrender everything to God and say, have thine own way, Lord, then praise God, he can and he will. Amen. Amen, he will. Yeah, well, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't know my life. You don't know my situation. I've been this, I've been that, I've done this. Let me tell you, I guarantee you can look around here and there's nothing that you can tell me that somebody in here hasn't been delivered from. Can these bones live? Oh, God, thou knowest. Amen. You know why he said that? Not because he was trying to evade the question, but he knew who he was talking to. Amen. He was talking to the one that took nothing and spoke a world into existence. He was talking to the one that took the dust of the earth and formed it in his own likeness, in his own image, and breathed into it the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. He was talking to the one who brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage through the Red Sea and made a way where there was no way that they might cross on dry land and find deliverance. That's who he was talking to. He was talking to the one that was the fourth man in the fiery furnace. wilderness with the Hebrew children. That's who he was talking to. He was talking to the one when his son was baptized in the river of Jordan, said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." He knew who he was talking to. He was talking to the one that rose up victorious over death, hell, and the grave on that third and glorious day. Amen. When they found that the stone, Lord, thou knowest. Amen. Friend, this morning, are you willing to say, "Lord, here I am. You know. You know. Man, you're looking at me like a bunch of old dried up bones." Hey man, are you a scared? Are you a feared? My wife said, "I ain't allowed to say that." Are you afraid of what God might do if you turn loose of your own selfish pride, if you turn loose of your own desires and say, "Lord, here I am, do what you want to do. Lord, you know what's going to be useful with me. Lord, you know what can happen. Lord, I'm going to give it all to you." You know what? We're afraid to say that, Brother Joe. "Lord, you know." Man, I'm like, "You might call me to preach. You might call me into missions. Oh, I might have to go someplace, some horrible foreign place. He might send me to a city." That's a horrible foreign place. Why in the world people go to the cities, I don't know. Folks that are from the city can't understand why we like it out here. I got a friend of mine raised in Philadelphia. So what do y'all do for it? "Well, man, we, you know, take care of our yards and mow the grass and your raised gardens." You call that fun? I don't know. But we're afraid. We're afraid to just acknowledge that God knows what's best. We're afraid to acknowledge that God knows what is possible. We're afraid to witness because they might reject us. How do you know if you don't try? Amen. He said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" He said, "Thou knowest." We got to let loose of our own preconceived ideals and let God have his way. Amen. And then we'll find what peace and joy and contentment he brings to our life. Look at what he said down here in verses 4 to 10. "And he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones." Verse number 7, he said, "So I prophesied as I was commanded." Amen. You know what happens when you do what God says to do? Amen. Things happen. Amen. You know what happens when God's people praise God? You know what happened? The Hebrews says the praise of our lips is our reasonable sacrifice. I ain't heard a whole lot of that this morning. Amen. Amen. You know what happens when God's people will just start praising him for a few moments? The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. Won't you give it a try? Amen. Won't you commence to praising him in the service, saying amen and shouting. Maybe let go with a good old-fashioned, "Woo, thank you, Jesus." Amen. And just begin to see what happens. Just begin to see what God does when we obey him and when we listen to him and when we offer him the sacrifice. People say, I just gotta sit there and be quiet. That ain't what the Bible said. It said the praise, the sacrifice of our lips is our reasonable service. Amen. Amen. But why ain't we doing it? Because we're worried about somebody else. Amen. Man, can you imagine Ezekiel out here in the valley of Charlestown Baptist Church? All dead and dried up and shriveled up. And God saying, preach to these bones and prophesy to them and see what happens. Ezekiel said, people will think I'm crazy. Amen. What do you think, Joe? You seen somebody out there in the boneyard? Old white bones, and he's out there preaching to the bones. Man, he's touched. Amen. He's touched. Ain't nothing ever going to happen out there. Amen. Sometimes I wonder if I'm touched when I preach in here. Amen. Sometimes I wonder if folks think I'm crazy. I might be, but praise God, I'm still going to do what Jesus said to do. He said to preach His word and to praise Him and to glorify Him and to lift Him up. I still want to do what God says He wants me to do so that He can come and He can do what He wants to do. Amen. I love it when He passes by. Amen. I love it when he comes and visits with us. He said, the Lord said, prophesy. So He said, I prophesied. Amen. You know, the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians, let me read to you what it says about the preaching of God's word. Amen. It might seem, I might be a fool to you this morning. You might be sitting here, look at that idiot jumping around up there. He's sweating, spitting and slobbering all over the place. It looks like some kind of a rabid animal. What in the world is wrong with him? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 21 says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not. That's what happens when you get too smart. Amen. And you forget God. The world knew not God. Amen. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hallelujah. This morning, I'm glad that He's still on the throne. I'm glad that He's still in control. I'm glad if we still do what He says He wants us to do. Praise God, He'll still do what He said He will do. Amen. I'm glad the preaching of the word still has an effect. I'm glad the preaching of the cross still brings people to salvation. I'm glad the preaching of the truth still brings hearts under repentance. I'm glad the preaching of the gospel still loosens the souls that are in spiritual bondage. Hallelujah. And sets them free. Amen. I'm glad folks are learning to let go and let God. Amen. I'm glad people are willing to be obedient unto what God says. We want something to happen. Do what God says. You want something to stir. See what God says? He says when He began to prophesy, He began to hear a shaking. Praise God this morning. I've done heard a shaking. Amen. I've heard a little bit of a shaking over here. Some people are getting a hold of this thing this morning. Amen. I've heard a little bit of a moving. Some people are grasping what God wants to do. He said, I began to hear a shaking. I began to hear a moving. Oh, praise God this morning. Let's let go and let God move. Let's let go and let God stir this morning. Let's let go and let God have His way that some soul might get what they need this morning. He said, I heard a shaking and a moving and a stirring. Praise God. I'm thankful when He walks by our way and things begin to move when we do what He wants us to do. Praise God. There was a stirring in the bones. There was a moving and the bones came together. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them and the skin covered them above. And there was no breath in them. Praise God. When He did what God said He would, He wanted Him to do, He began to see things that happen. And you want something to happen in your life this morning, do what God wants you to do. Amen. You want something to happen this morning, you got a loved one that you got a burden for. Won't you come on and just do what God wants you to do? He wants you to pray. He wants you to seek His face. He wants you to get burdened for them and just cry out and just call upon Him and let His will be done. We don't have no form or fashion here. Our altar's always open. We don't have a time for this and a time for that. Praise God. The time is when God tells you to do something to do it. Amen. He began to see something happen when he began to do what God told him to do. Amen. When he realized that God was the one that had to be in control. When God was the one, man, the bones began to stir. They began to move. and they stood on their feet. He said, prophesy again to the wind. Oh, praise God. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit. I just passed by this way this morning and breathe upon these dry bones, Lord, and just stir their hearts this morning, God. Have your way this morning in each heart and in each life. This morning, God, I let everyone just surrender and submit themselves unto you. Oh, praise God this morning. When the bones start to stir it and they need something more than just a little bit of a feeling. Oh, praise God. He shows up. He moves in. He brings life. He brings hope. He brings help to those that stand in need. And praise God, I don't know what you need this morning, but I know this. He has just exactly what you need. And all you got to do is trust him this morning. All you got to do is surrender and just do what he tells you to do. As he tells you to. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. He said he prophesied. And then what happened? What happened? A bone came. Another bone came. And then some life began to stir. Some hearts began to move. What's wrong with your heart this morning? Does it need to be stirred? Does it need to move this morning? Do you need what God has for you this morning? He said then when he looked around, pretty soon there just wasn't a bone here and a bone there laying. He said there was an exceeding great army. Praise God, you want to see this church do what God wants it to do. Let him stir. Be obedient unto him and let him create an army, amen, that can do something that nothing else in this world can ever do and can accomplish what nothing. Praise God this morning. Amen. Another bone has stirred. Another bone has come to life. Hallelujah this morning. What's it going to take, church, to get us to the place where we're going to surrender ourselves wholly and completely unto God's will for our lives and do what he wants us to do? Praise God. He wants to do a great and mighty work. But the only way it's going to happen, he wants to raise up a great and mighty army at a Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church. But the only way it's going to happen is for those that hear his word and hear his commandments. Hear him as he speaks to your heart to be obedient. How about it this morning? Have you heeded? Are you obedient to what he wants you to do, that he can do the work that he wants you to do? Praise God, he wants to do something, but he needs you to do your part. He needs you to be obedient. Amen. Listen. As the Spirit speaks, listen, as the Spirit moves, it brings life, it brings health, and it brings hope. And he said, he said unto me, Son of man, these bones of the whole house of Israel, behold, they say our bones are dried, our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves. I will bring you into this land and praise God. And in verse 40, and I will put my spirit in you. I want you to know something this morning, folks. You want hope and you want help. Praise God, it can be found this morning in the Lord. Amen. They had lost their hope. Anybody here this morning lost their hope? Anybody here this morning and needing a touch from on high? He said he would give it to you. You say, but preacher, you don't know where I'm at. Preacher, you don't know how low I've sunk. It don't matter. He said, I'm going to bring you up out of the grave. I can bring you out of bondage and I will take you back into your land. I will put you back where you came from. I will restore you where you once was. You need restoration this morning. I'll tell you what. He said he would put his spirit in you and give it to you. There's hope in the Lord. There's hope where no hope can be found. There's help where no one else can give you help. Let me tell you this morning, if you need something from the Lord, you come to him and you'll find it. The psalmist said, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I tell you, Peter said over in 1 Peter that is a lively hope. Paul told the Corinthian church he's an eternal hope. To the Romans he wrote and said that he was a saving hope. To Titus, Paul wrote he is the expected hope. John says he's a purifying hope. When I had no hope through the preaching of the Word of God, I found that there is hope. Amen. And because I ask him into my heart, in my life, today I have hope. And my hope isn't in this world. And my hope isn't in the things of this world. Where some of you already know, but hey, we got robbed this week up the farm. I had some of my equipment stolen out of the barn. And praise God, I've got a hope where thieves can't break through and steal, and rust does not corrupt. Praise God, I got a hope eternal in Christ Jesus. And praise his name this morning. As long as I got my hope in him, my hope is secure. Amen. Amen. I wonder this morning, where's your hope? I wonder this morning, where's your help coming from? Amen. I wonder this morning, are you getting what you needed? Are you seeing what he wants you to see? Amen. Realizing what he needs you to realize. Amen. Are you doing what he needs you to do, that you can have the hope that he wants to give you? Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's go.